From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Often, when we talk about chemicals in our drinking water, we think of Flint, Michigan, and the crisis of lead in the water there. But across Illinois, there are other threats to our health in the drinking water. They're often called forever chemicals because they can take hundreds or even thousands of years to break down. One source of forever chemicals can be found in many of our kitchens, Teflon from nonstick pans. On Monday, the Biden administration announced it would move to curtail the use of this class of chemicals. EPA Administrator Michael Regan spoke about this at a news conference along the Cape Fear River in North Carolina.
PFAS chemicals were once considered a silver bullet when they were developed in the 1940s. Ironically, a means for making our lives easier. They were used all across America, from nonstick cookware to grease-resistant food packaging, stain and water-resistant fabrics, and cleaning products. These unregulated chemical compounds quickly became prominent in our everyday lives. Propelled by the promise of a better life, made easier supposedly by technology.
These chemicals, known by the initialism PFAS or PFAS, have been linked to health problems, including kidney issues, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. Illinois recently started testing for these chemicals, and more than 100 community drinking water sources across the state have shown traces. EPA Administrator Regan outlined some of the actions the Biden administration is taking.
We're announcing a national testing strategy that forces PFAS manufacturers, from Chemours to 3M, to disclose in great detail just how toxic these chemicals are. It would take EPA decades to do this on our own, at the expense of American families and the American taxpayer, but instead, the polluters who are poisoning our nation's waterways will be responsible for conducting and paying for this work. This strategy outlines how we'll be addressing PFAS chemicals in groups or categories, not on an individual basis, saving precious time and resources. The data and information we receive is what EPA needs to unlock our regulatory arsenal for many PFAS chemicals and to hold these polluters accountable for the harm that they've caused. Second, EPA will establish national drinking water regulations for PFAS chemicals under the Safe Drinking Water Act. And we're also moving to designate certain PFAS as hazardous substances under EPA's Superfund law. For years, the Superfund program has successfully protected American communities by requiring polluters to pay to clean up the hazardous waste and pollution that they themselves have released in our environment. This strategy will leverage EPA's existing authority to take bold action to restrict chemicals from entering the land, the air, the water, and land at all levels that are harmful to public health and the environment. My experience at both the state and federal level has made it clear that we need to strengthen government's legal authority to protect the public as they deserve. Third, we will immediately broaden and accelerate the cleanup of PFAS contamination that we now know of today. When EPA becomes aware of a situation where PFAS poses a serious threat to the health of a community, we will not hesitate to take swift action, strong enforcement to address the threat, and hold polluters accountable all across the country. Where we find contamination, we will seek necessary monitoring and cleanup from the polluters.
Brett Chase reports on the environment and planning and public health for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's been following these findings on forever chemicals. In August, my Illinois Public Media colleague Tanisha Spain spoke with Chase when she was filling in for me on the show. Tanisha began by asking Brett to explain more about what we're talking about when we use the phrase forever chemicals.
They're called, it's a class of chemicals. There's quite a number of them. Per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, and as you said, PFAS for short, they are ubiquitous and have been for decades. Things like nonstick pans, stain-resistant clothing, firefighting foam, which is kind of interesting. In fact, a little bit of news in the last few days, the governor signed a bill that phases out PFAS firefighting foam. This will happen over the next 5 or 6 years, but this was one source, of the contamination. But there's so much of this chemical out there, and it's been around for so long that it's estimated that the government estimates that we all have a little bit of this in our bodies. And as you say, they don't break down. That's why they have the nickname forever chemicals. They're going to stay in the water. They're going to stay in your body forever.
Now, I talked about this just a little in the intro, but it mentioned, some of the health concerns that it can cause. Can you elaborate a little bit more on just the harm that these chemicals can cause our bodies?
We're still finding that out. I mean, there's still constant studying, but I think you hit some of them. I mean, there's a couple types of cancer that have shown up in human studies, testicular, kidney, high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels. They're believed to inhibit vaccine responses in children. They can lead to low infant birth weights. In animal testing, there's been evidence of birth defects and developmental issues. So this is definitely something we want to get a better handle on. And as you said, we're in a very early stage here in Illinois. I, as an environmental reporter, was aware of the national debate over PFAS, for the last few years. And I would look at what limited information there was, nationally on this. And you see, like, the state of Michigan, wow, what a hot spot. They're just, they had tons of, I think well over 150, contamination sites. And I'd compare that to a map of Illinois that was done by a national group, which showed very, practically nothing, but that was because we just didn't test. And so a little more than a year ago, or almost a year ago, I should say, the Illinois EPA decided that they were going to test, and they found, pretty widespread. Well, I should say this, but let me put it in perspective. More than 1,000 water systems, drinking water systems are being tested. And so far, more than 100, I think it's around 120 to date, have shown some traces. So now some of these are, just the small detectable mm-hmm. amounts.
Now, do you know what sort of made Illinois, look into this? What was the event? What tipped everyone off?
It wasn't one event, and it wasn't directed by the legislature, which is sometimes what you see. To be honest, the federal government is struggling with this. I mean, they've been looking at this for years, and there's been congressional hearings. There's the EPA is studying this, US EPA, but it has been in the national conversation for quite some time, and there's been lawsuits, as I mentioned in my story. In fact, some municipalities are actually involved in lawsuits against the longtime manufacturers of products with these chemicals. So 3M, a household name, DuPont, you mentioned the Teflon pans, but companies that have been involved, and maybe with the chemical that goes into the firefighting foam. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's been out there. There's certainly been a lot of local environmental groups that have been sounding alarm on this. In fact, there was a proposal by the largest environmental coalition in the state a couple of years ago, and Association of Fire Chiefs said, "Wait a minute, we want to phase this stuff out on the firefighting foam, because it is really highly effective on like liquid chemical fires," mm-hmm. and but for decades, firefighters didn't know, and those things don't, they don't break these things out every week, obviously. But sure. They do have drills, and not just municipal fire departments, but like if you live near an oil refinery or a large airport, I mean, this stuff has been on hand there. And anyway, the fire chiefs had said, "Look, we need some time to figure out what's the what's the replacement for this? Because it is, you know, it is highly effective against these chemical fires.
Like the Rockton, Illinois fire just recently.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah, they were the Illinois EPA and the U.S. EPA had conferred with the fire department of Lubrizol, the company that owns that plant, and said, you know, please don't put please don't try to extinguish that fire with PFAS foam because you're so close to the Rock River, and which is not a source of drinking water, but you know, a lot of people fish and mm-hmm. they recreate, and it flows all the way down to the Mississippi River. So
can you tell us what communities
and some of the foam got sprayed over the fire?
Can you tell us what communities right now are affected?
Well, I mean, okay, so I would say the vast majority of these are really trace amounts, you know. So we were seeing some in the Chicago suburbs, but let me try to put this into context. So these things are measured; these chemicals are measured as like tiny amounts, like parts per trillion, right? You know, so the state is asking everybody that shows 2 parts per trillion. Any water system to like report that and say, okay, let's keep an eye on it. Let's, keep testing. We're going to try to figure out what the source of it is. We're actually working on state rules. So it's unlikely. I think it's unlikely that, there's going to be a, serious action done on anything that's measuring 2 parts per trillion. But Michigan, as I mentioned, found, kind of widespread contamination. So they said 8 parts per trillion. Which is, seems still kind of low, right? Mm-hmm. The US EPA is way up there, like 70 parts per trillion. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because I found one case of a mobile home park in Rockford where it measured 150 parts per trillion. So now we're getting really high, and immediate action was taken there. People were given, bottled water. They're still in bottled water. They were on a private system. They're being converted to the Rockford Municipal Water System. So that was one of the highest ones I saw. There was another one in the Rockford area that was shown to be high in a well. And my understanding is that well hadn't been used for a while. It was kind of a backup. I am seeing, when we get into these communities that depend on well water, and if it's, especially if it's shallow well, there may be some concern there, especially if there's, any sort of, manufacturing or other potential contamination in the area. And this is the thing I kept asking. It's like, well, I interviewed at least a half a dozen, water plant chiefs, and each one said like they have no idea. They just mm-hmm. don't know what contaminated. Because I mean, we saw trace amounts in North Shore Chicago suburban water systems that draw from Lake Michigan. It doesn't make sense. Like the city of Chicago didn't show any traces, at least this go around. There was a test about a decade ago where they did show a small amount, and they now blame it on less sophisticated testing.
So when you're looking at this issue, who should be held accountable for removing the chemicals, and where are we with that?
So, going back to my discussions with the municipal folks, they don't think the taxpayers should have to pay for this. So that's why you're seeing these lawsuits around the state and also around the country. And it's a coordinated effort by a number of, big law firms that specialize in these sort of things. They're going after the companies, the chemical makers. In terms of what I think, I don't think taxpayers should have to pay. I don't think the water customers should have to pay. That's to be decided. We'll see what happens with these big lawsuits all over the country.
All right, Brett, thank you so much for joining us. Brett Chase reports on the environment for the Chicago Sun-Times. We're going to tweet out a link to his report on forever chemicals found in Illinois drinking water. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks again for having me.
My Illinois Public Media colleague, Tanisha Spain, speaking with Brett Chase of the Chicago Sun-Times back in August. The Biden administration this week announced it would begin regulating PFAS or forever chemicals. Coming up after the break, the Chicago-Rockford International Airport has plans to expand, but it could encroach on a 200-acre patch of prairie that's home to a rich ecosystem with birds, bumblebees, and other insects. We'll hear from environmentalists who are concerned this expansion could bulldoze this land that's been untouched for thousands of years. And before the break, we're also looking ahead to next week when we'll be taking a deep dive into the media, seeking answers to the question, who controls the news? From years of staff cuts at local papers to the rise of news-like websites with partisan agendas, we'll spend a week looking at many different facets of the news landscape. As part of that conversation, we'd like to know where you get your news. Are you worried about a lack of independent news or trustworthy sources? How do you vet your news? Have you ever read, believed, and shared a story that was eventually deemed not factual? Let us know by leaving a voicemail. Our number is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. You can also get in touch with us through our website, 21stshow.org. That's 21stshow.org. Okay, more to come after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.